Isaiah 29 in verse 15. Woe to them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us? And who knoweth us? There should be the contemplation in which is effectual to prevent all sins, especially such as are usually committed in secret. This prevention is the knowledge of God, that he knows all things. By denying this, the wicked tend to urge their grand presumption against it, which the prophet denounces a curse against the subjects of these people, as we just read. This is a presumption that there is none to take notice of them, when in fact, God knows everything. The doctrine is that God knows all things. The term omniscience does not occur in Scripture, either in its nominal or in its adjectival form. In the Old Testament, it's expressed in connection with a variety of words. Seeing, hearing, the eye, the ear. They occur as figures for the knowledge of God, as an arm and a hand and a finger serve to express his power. In the New Testament are found various words and phrases that appear in the same connections. Scripture everywhere teaches the absolute universality of the divine knowledge. In the historical books, although there's no abstract formula and occasional anthropomorphic references to God's taking knowledge of things occur, nonetheless, the principle is everywhere presupposed in what is related about God's cognizance of the doings and works of man, about the hearing of prayer, the disclosing of the future. Explicit affirmation of the principle is made in the Psalter, the prophets, the Chokhmah literature in the New Testament as well. The wisdom literature. It's wise to know God knows all things. This is due to the increased internalization of religion by which its hidden side, to which the divine omniscient corresponds, receiving greater emphasis. God's knowledge extends to all spheres, all parts of life, to everything. And this absolute universality is affirmed with reference to the various categories that comprise within themselves all that is possible or actual. It extends to God's own being, as well as to that which exists outside of him in the created world. God has perfect possession and consciousness of his own being. The unconscious finds no place in him. Look at Acts 15:18 and 1 John 1:5. Next to himself, God knows the world in its totality. This knowledge extends to small as well as great affairs, to the hidden heart and mind of man as well to that which is open and manifest. It extends to all divisions of time, the past, present, and future alike. It embraces that which is contingent from the human viewpoint as well as that which is certain. This mode of divine knowledge, Scripture brings God's knowledge into connection with his omnipresence. He is everywhere. He knows everything. Psalm 139 is one of the clearest expressions of this. Omniscience is the omnipresence of cognition. It is also closely related to God's eternity, for the latter makes him in his knowledge independent of the limitations of time. He's not bound by time. God's creative relation to all that exists is represented as underlying his omniscience. His all-comprehensive purpose forms the basis of his knowledge of all events and developments. This, however, does not mean that God's knowledge of things is identical with his creation of them, as has been suggested by Augustine and some others. The act of creation, while necessarily connected with the knowledge of that which is to be actual, is not identical with such knowledge or with the purpose on which such knowledge rests, for in God, as well as in man, the intellect and the will are distinct faculties. In the last analysis, God's knowledge of the world has its source in his self-knowledge. The world is a revelation of God. All that is actual or possible in it, therefore, is a reflection in created form of what exists uncreated in God. And in this way, the knowledge of the one becomes a reproduction of the knowledge of the other. Read Acts 17:27 or Romans 1:20. The divine knowledge of the world also partakes of the quality of the divine self-knowledge in this respect, that it is never dormant. God does not depend for embracing the multitude and complexity of the existing world on such mental processes as abstraction and generalization. The Bible nowhere represents him as attaining to knowledge by reasoning, but everywhere as simply knowing. From what has been said about the immanent sources of divine knowledge, it follows that the latter is not from the latter, derived from its objects, as all human knowledge based on experience is, but is exercised without receptivity or dependence. God simply knows everything. In knowing, as well as in all other activities of his nature, God is sovereign and self-sufficient. In becoming aware of the reality of all things, he does not need to wait upon those things, but draws his knowledge directly from the basis of reality as it lies in himself. While the two are in this way closely connected, it is nevertheless of importance to distinguish between God's knowledge of himself and God's knowledge of the world, and also between his knowledge of the actual and his knowledge of the possible. These distinctions mark off theistic conceptions of omniscience from the pantheistic idea regarding it. God is not bound up in his life with the world in such a sense as to have no scope of activity beyond it. God is not the world, and the world is not God. The world exists in him, and he in and through all things, upholding all things by the word of his power. God's omniscience and human free will is also another note to take in this. Since Scripture includes in the objects of the divine knowledge also the issue of the exercise of the will on the part of man, the problem arises how the contingent character of such decisions and certainty of the divine knowledge can coexist. It is true that the knowledge of God and the purposing will of God are distinct, and that not the former but the latter determines the certainty of the outcome. Consequently, the divine omniscience in such cases adds or detracts nothing in regard to the certainty of the event. God's omniscience does not produce but presupposes the certainty by which the problem is raised. At the same time, precisely because omniscience presupposes certainty, it appears to exclude every conception of contingency in the free acts of man, such as would render the latter in their very essence undetermined. The knowledge of the issue must have a fixed point of certainty to terminate upon, if it is to be knowledge at all. And those who make the essence of freedom about indeterminateness must therefore exempt this class of events from the scope of divine omniscience. But this is contrary to all the testimony of Scripture, which distinctly makes God's absolute knowledge extend to all acts of everything. Acts 2:23, for example. How might we apply this idea? Well, the religious importance of this knowledge is without question. The divine omniscience is most important for the religious life. The very essence of religion as communion with God depends on all comprehensive cognizance of the life of man at every moment. The Christian knows that God knows all things, all the time. Therefore, it is characteristic of the irreligious to deny the omniscience of God. Especially along three lines, this fundamental religious importance reveals itself. It lends support and comfort when the pious suffer from the misunderstanding and misrepresentation of men. It acts as a deterrent to those tempted by sin, especially secret sin, and becomes a judging principle to all hypocrisy and false security. God sees what people do in the dark. God sees and knows what they do as they lay upon their bed, and there are thoughts and ideas lodged in the night, as the prophet says. He knows all of them. It furnishes the source from which man's desire for self-knowledge can obtain satisfaction, and that only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowledge of God pushes us towards that end. We know that we are vile, wretched worms, as it said in Job. And yet, we also know that the Lord has condescended to love us in the Christ, that we may be rescued from the fall, and that Christ can reverse it. And in this, we come to know a little about what God has revealed to us, knowing that he knows all things, knows how to remedy all things, and has sent the Christ to remedy it in us, that we might know what he knows as revealed in Scripture. And so we see God knows all things, regardless of what they are, and it is extremely important for the Christian to be aware that God is always with him and knows all things and will do all things in love for his good. Amen.